Good afternoon and welcome to the FactSet Weekly Market Recap. Today is Friday, May 20th. U.S. equities were lower this week, with the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ notching losses of 2.9%, 3.1%, and 3.8% respectively, while the small-cap Russell 2000 fell 1.1%. The S&P logged its seventh straight weekly decline, its longest streak of decline since 2001. The Dow, meanwhile, capped an eight-week losing streak for the first time since 1923. The S&P even dipped into bear market territory during Friday trading before recovering in the hour before the bell. The index is now down 18.7% since its January 3rd all-time closing high. Treasuries were mostly firmer, with the 30-year yield dropping back to 3% after hitting a recent high above 3.22% on May 6th. The dollar index was down 1.5%, its sharpest weekly drop since February, after 6 weeks of gains. Gold was up following 4 weeks of gains, gaining 1.8%. Oil pulled back slightly, with WTI down 0.2%. While there was no defining catalyst for the week, multiple bearish themes remain very much in discussion, with strategists quick to point out downside scenarios. There was keen focus on the Fed marching on the path to tighter monetary policy as it seeks to tamp down inflation, with many questions about its ability to engineer the hoped-for softish landing for the economy. Inflationary pressures remain front and center for the economy, with this week's earnings results from retailers suggesting consumers are shifting their spending away from higher ticket items as food and fuel prices have risen. China's COVID lockdowns look to continue, along with their impacts on the supply chain and Chinese consumers, as Beijing continues to follow its zero COVID strategy. The war in Ukraine, while not a top-tier concern, still represents a large cloud of uncertainty. And there remain significant doubts as to whether the market has seen enough capitulation. But amid the ramping recession calls and multiple analysts this week taking down 2022 GDP or S&P estimates, markets were still clinging to a few hopeful threads. While personal consumption may be shifting, the overall volume remains robust. April CPI data was underwhelming, but we may still be past peak inflation. Equity outflows have been picking up, but remain minimal compared to the past 18 months of inflows. China has pledged support for its economy, and aid to date is running behind 2020's pace. In the 12 recessions since World War II, the S&P has seen a median contraction of about 24%, suggesting that much of the pain could already be priced in. There are also some contrarian buy signals in evidence, particularly a raft of indicators for depressed sentiment and positioning. For example, B of A's fund manager survey found portfolio cash levels to be at their highest since 9/11. However, all of these have been cited as possible factors behind every bounce attempt in recent weeks, none of which have gained any traction. Taking a look at sector performance on the week, consumer staples trailed amid broadly weaker performance, with Walmart's disappointing Q1 report a key focus. Retailers were the weak spot in consumer discretionary, facing a lot of scrutiny following a big earnings miss at Target. Road and rail names lagged in industrials, though airlines had a good week. The megacaps were down in tech, with the hardware and semi spaces largely lower. Communication services were a relative outperformer with help from entertainment and telecom, but Google and Facebook were lower. Financials beat the tape, helped by asset managers and a smattering of gainers in insurance and banks. Industrial metals, particularly copper and aluminum firms, commodity chemicals, and select fertilizer names cushioned materials. Pharma was the strongest subgroup in healthcare, though managed care and hospitals were mostly lower. Energy led the market, with integrateds, E&Ps, and oil services names all having a good week. Retailers were a key focus this week, with some weak reports raising questions about consumer spending and margins. Walmart flagged higher supply chain costs, larger general merchandise markdowns, and higher wage costs. Target similarly pointed to high costs and inventory impairments. In both cases, management noted elevated inventory issues leading to some markdowns, with Target pointing to a consumer shift away from higher-margin discretionary items amid rising food and fuel costs. These results definitely cast a pall over the group this week, though there were several other notable disappointments. Ross Stores' comp decline was worse than expected, and guidance was cut, with management citing discretionary spending headwinds for the lower-end consumer. Lowe's missed on Q1 comps, and while Home Depot's were better, management noted a decline in transactions and depressed sentiment over inflation and interest rates. Even TJX's generally positive report was not enough to swim against the tide. China continued to garner its share of the headlines, with the COVID situation still unsettled. Friday saw three new cases emerge outside of Shanghai's surveillance zones, breaking a six-day streak, denting hopes that restrictions might start to be lifted soon. Meanwhile, cases continue to rise in Beijing and elsewhere, with the central government showing no sign of moving away from its strict zero-COVID approach. But in a positive move, there was more policy support announced, with the People's Bank of China Friday making a larger-than-expected cut to its five-year loan prime rate. Analysts calculated China has now pumped in about $5.3 trillion in stimulus this year, below the 2020 mark, which could signal the possibility of more to come. There was no real change to the Fed narrative this week, despite comments from Chair Powell on Tuesday. Powell largely stuck to the narrative that has prevailed among Fed speakers lately, that the bank is committed to bringing inflation down and that it expects 50 basis point hikes at the next two meetings to be appropriate. Powell also reiterated his view that the economy, particularly the labor market, is strong enough to bear some tightening as the Fed looks for a pathway to a softish landing. Note that the minutes from the Fed's May meeting will be released next Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, but given the breadth of information provided at the meeting and the fairly consistent Fed speak over the last 2 weeks, these may be largely de-risked. Economic data this week was mixed. Headline April retail sales were largely in line, though control group sales surprised to the upside. However, there were unexpectedly big drops in the May regional manufacturing surveys released by both the New York and Philadelphia Fed. Housing starts and existing home sales both logged their third straight monthly decline as mortgage rates and prices each continued to climb. Homebuilder sentiment posted a sharp monthly drop as well. Next week's economic calendar is moderately active. April new home sales are due out on Tuesday and are also expected to log another monthly decline. Wednesday will bring the preliminary April durable goods report, with forecasts for a slight slowdown in the headline from March's pace. Next Friday's calendar brings April PCE data and the final May consumer sentiment reading. That's it for this edition of the FactSet Weekly Market Recap. Have a great weekend, everyone.